Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I'm your host for this podcast. And today we're talking about a question that's been asked many, many times, and it is how do you know it's your intuition? So usually people are asking, so how do I know it's my intuition? And it's been asked many, many times, and I can put it down to a basic, you just know. But really, when you're first starting out, how do you just know? And this is what I wanted to talk about today, because it isn't as easy as it all seems. It is a little bit challenging when you really don't know what you're looking at and how you're doing it. So with this podcast today, I wanted to go more through my life experiences, and that's sort of how I know, or how I got to know my intuition even more. So there's three sort of areas that I go through. One's reflection, one's experiences, and one's moments. Now, when we get an understanding of our intuition, majority of times we need to reflect back. We need to have a look back. That's where we get those areas that start to make a little bit more sense. So when I say upon reflection, there's things that are starting to happen, little things that will happen in your life, and sometimes just reflecting back to it, when you get that understanding, makes it a little bit more, it gives you that more awareness, gives you more awareness of your intuition and what it is. Now, I remember reflecting back when I was a child. So I would be coming home from primary school, and we would have left school, just walking out of the school gates. I would have met up with one of my sisters, and I'd be walking home, and I'd go, oh, Mum's in a bad mood. Now, I knew she was in a bad mood. Now, again, I was in primary school, so I didn't understand what your period was. I didn't understand how that affected you emotionally in that sense. And it was usually Mum would be in a bad mood because she had a period, or, you know, something to that effect. But I didn't know that. I would just say to my sister, oh, Mum's in a bad mood. And she'd go, well, how do you know that? And it was like, well, how do you not know that? Like, to me, it was so obvious. How do you not know that? So these were the sort of things that I would, got the understanding of. Once I reflected back on it, I didn't get the understanding when it was happening. I got the understanding when I reflected back on it. And that's what's really, really important. It's not about living in the past. It's about getting the understanding of it. And then once you have got that understanding a little bit more often, you can start to bring it forward. Now, in this situation with Mum, I do distinctly remember, and the biggest one I remember was this particular one that I'm talking about. And we got home, and yes, Mum was in a real mood. And I mean, gosh, she had every right to be. She had enough children and enough stress in her life. So, and I remember basically my sister turning around and saying to me, this is your fault. You were the one who put Mum in a bad mood. You were the one who said she was in a bad mood. That was a big aha moment for me, because basically I discovered, which I, again, wasn't aware of until later on, until I reflected back, that that particular incident had stopped me talking about anything that I was experiencing outside of what anyone else was experiencing. Now, of course, you don't know that you're experiencing it differently to other people, so I closed down. I'd never started to say anything about how I was feeling or what I was picking up. I learned it from that moment, from that day I left that primary school and started heading home. I learned not to speak about how I was feeling and the information I was picking up. Because when she said to me, how do you know that? And I sort of thought, well, how do you not know? It was that understanding that, okay, she's not picking that up that information up, and I am. I'm not allowed to talk about that information anymore. So I closed down. This is one of the reasons why at primary school or before primary school, children will have a lot more intuitive information coming to them and they'll express it because they don't have any rules or restrictions. Once you start to get to school, you start to bring in these rules and restrictions, and that's what happened there. Like my sister, being older than me, said, "How do you know?" And that's when I questioned myself, how do I know? Because she didn't know. So I started to close down. So we get this little bit more of an understanding. And I only got that when I reflected back, when I had got lots of understanding and a lot more knowledge, I could reflect back and see what that meant and what it was all about. Now, the other area that I reflected back on as a high schooler, I had this really scary dream. Now, I dreamt about the devil, and the devil was coming out of the wall and he was going to attack me and all the rest. Now, I was living at that time in the house we had was on a slope. So I was in the downstairs area, which was an old granny flat. We converted into the rest of the house and the family were living upstairs. And in between, there was like this section in between, because that was a self-contained granny flat, so you could access it externally, but we created an internal set of stairs to get to it. So you had this sort of dirt area in underneath that where it was being excavated underneath. So, and we eventually made that the laundry. But that dirt area where it was Dad's workshop, laundry, and this dark area over there was always really scary. We all sort of used to laugh and joke about it because we sort of went, oh, you know, there's something down there, there's something downstairs. And even though we laughed and joked about it and we sort of scared each other, we all knew, we all could feel that there was something under the house, as we called it. There's something under the house. And so to get from our regular living area to these couple of bedrooms that were downstairs, we had to go under the house. And it was always quite a little bit, you went really quickly because there was always that fear, and I don't know why. But this particular night, the room where the fire was coming through in my dream, where the fire was coming through, was the other side of it was under the house. So for the devil to come through that way made sense to me. But it wasn't until a bit later on that I got this understanding. Why did I dream about the devil? Now, what had actually happened was I dreamt about that. I got so scared, I woke myself up, and I could, it was so real, I could smell smoke. Now, yes, it was real. I could smell smoke. One of my fish tanks, the plug right where that was sparking and actually sending smoke or the smell of burning out. So that woke me up. I looked over, I unplugged it and went back to sleep. And you know what? You know how some of those dreams, they stay with you? That dream, the fear in that dream never, ever stayed with me. I can still visualize it, but there's no fear attached to it. I don't have that emotion attached to it. That's how I know that was my intuition kicking in, because it used the emotion to wake me up, the fear to wake me up, but it didn't stay with me. And that's one of the really important things about intuition. It can use your emotion to get you moving, to get you to action something, but it's not necessarily, you're not going to hold on to that emotion. And that's what can be quite strange when someone says, well, why did you do that? Because you had that emotion to start with, but you don't follow through on it. It doesn't mean the same. So I can talk about this dream about the devil. If I hadn't have woken up, if my intuition hadn't have gotten me up and waking up, that would have burnt the house down. It would have for sure gone straight up and burnt the house down. So, you know, I sort of thank my lucky stars that I acknowledged that and understood that. But it wasn't until I looked back further, because all I saw that was, I didn't link the two together. It was like I was having this dream and I was really scared. Lucky I woke up because I unplugged the PowerPoint. And it wasn't until years later that I sort of went, oh, wow, that was incredible. That was really, really incredible. I mean, if it wasn't the devil, if it was just I was dreaming about a little bonfire going there, or sitting around the campfire, toasting marshmallows, I wouldn't have woken up. It had to be enough emotion to get me to action it. So that's upon reflection, and that's how we can look at things upon reflection. Now, the other aspect I want to look at is when we look, understand our big experiences. Now, our big experiences, I've just lost my page. Whoops. Our big experiences are some of the things that we are so physically involved in that we aren't aware that there's possibly a silver lining to it. Now, one of my biggest experiences, and I have talked about this before, so I am quite mindful, I don't want to repeat myself all the time, but in the same token, they were so big, these experiences were so important to me in understanding what my intuition is, or how do I know it's my intuition. One of the biggest ones was the experience of leaving my body. It was when I left my body that I understood that we have the physical body and the spiritual body, the spiritual side of us and the physical side of us, and how we are so tightly interwoven, and yet we are still independent of each other. Now, it wasn't until I had these experiences that I was aware of this, this possibility that we have two bodies. Now, with this particular situation, again, this was about reflecting, because the first time I left my body, I was 19. So I hadn't got the understanding of what it was all about. It was a horrific experience, and one that, again, I can reflect back off and get an understanding, one that didn't have such an emotional attachment to. Similar to the dream about the devil, it had the emotional attachment to get me to action something, but it didn't have the emotional attachment that held me there. So in this particular, the first experience when I was 19 was a horrific pack rape. So I was walking home. I was on holidays in two states away from the family. I'm with my younger sister. And my younger sister had already gone back to the unit, and I was heading back there too. It wasn't late. It was probably about 8:30 at night. I was in long pants and a buttoned-up shirt, so I wasn't asking for trouble, as they like to term it, which is just so absolutely ridiculous, like somebody standing there asking to be attacked. But anyway, I was walking back to the unit. I didn't know the area very well. I was on holidays. I got a tap on the shoulder. It was 2 days before we were due to go home. Got a tap on the shoulder, turned around and got punched in the face, king hit, knocked out completely. Obviously hit the concrete floor, the path, and I actually came to getting dragged into the back of a car by my hair. So in the back of the car, I think they must have driven around somewhere because it was a main road. In the back of the car, they started taking turns type thing. Sorry, it's a little bit challenging sometimes to talk about. Other times I'm fine. Anyway, so all I know is the few things that I do remember. I remember the fact that I knew I couldn't stop them. There was three against one, and the one that hit me was extremely violent. The other two, not as violent, but this one was, he was extremely violent. Got the pleasure out of the physical violence that he created. Anyway, so I remember being in the back seat, and I know that I could not stop what they were doing. They were just hurt. He was hurting me more and more every time you tried to fight. So I figured that was not going to end well if I kept on going that way. Now, I'm not a strong religious person, but I am a person who believes that there is a bigger audience out there, you know, something else out there. So I started praying. Now, I've been to church at that stage. I went to Sunday school for probably 6 months when I was in primary school. That's probably, oh, and I did a little bit of youth, you know, when you went to these camps with youth. So very little as far as the religious side of things go. All I knew is that I needed to pray. So, no, I didn't, sorry. All I remember saying was, how can I stop these guys doing it from somebody else? How can I stop them? What do I need to do? I can't stop them hurting me. I can't stop them doing what they're doing. They're so focused and switched on to what they're doing. I can't stop them. There's no way I can stop them. But how can I stop them doing it to somebody else? This was my goal. This was my plan. So that's when I left my body. That's when it was really strange. I left my body. I remember standing outside of the car looking in. Now, I couldn't go anywhere, or I didn't choose to go anywhere. I just stood there, for want of another word, stood there looking in the back of this car. I could see the swelling on the face where she'd been punched. You could see the swelling coming out. You could see the energy moving from there. I could see the blood coming from the top of her hair where her hair had been ripped out. I could see all that. You knew that there was blood in the mouth. You could feel the blood in the mouth, but you couldn't taste it. You knew it was there, but you couldn't taste it. There was all these things happening. You could see the energy coming from this physical body of these areas of pain, these areas of activity, and you saw this energy coming from them, but you didn't feel the energy. You didn't feel pain. You didn't feel emotions. You didn't feel any. You just watched. The area was blue, similar. And this was the same with my other experiences. It was like, I put it down to like being in the full moon at night. So you can see, but you might not be able to see clearly a long way away. So you can see, but it's this blue hue that's around. So I remember looking at him, and honestly, I don't know what this time frame was, because it felt like it was a long time. I don't believe it was in our aspect. But the information I got was to pray. That was the information I got. And I remember coming back into the body, and this wave of pain and emotions that hit you as you came into this body. I can only imagine that's what it's like for a newborn, you know, like when the spirit comes in to the baby in vitro, you know, I can only imagine all of a sudden you've got this. You can feel the mother's emotions and what's happening and what's going around and all these different things. So going from watching to participating again was horrendous. The pain, the emotions, everything was just overwhelming. And I remember I've got to pray. Now, like I said, I only basically knew two prayers, so, you know, forgive me for that. But the first one was, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. And I repeated it. I repeated it slow. I repeated it loud. And I repeated it deliberately. And each time I repeated it, he would hit me. He would try and shut me up. And I just kept on forgiving them, because I could not think. I couldn't physically do anything. I was hoping emotionally, mentally, you know, I could get something through that they would not do this again. So I kept on forgiving them. They kept hitting. I kept forgiving. When the hands came around my throat and I couldn't breathe because I wouldn't shut up, that was pretty scary. I did change. I said the other prayer, which was the Lord's Prayer. I started to repeat that a little bit, you know, mix it up a bit. Started to repeat that. Again, the violence was just incredible, just constant. And I remember in the end when I wouldn't, because I wouldn't shut up, I just wouldn't shut up. I just kept on going. I just kept on going and going and going, slowly, deliberately, and with intention. It was with intention. It was like, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. And it was just, I just was pounding them with it. And maybe it was guilt. Maybe I was emotionally manipulating them, but holy dooly, I needed to stop them doing that as best I could. Anyway, in the end, the hand over the mouth, over the nose, I passed out. I couldn't do it anymore. I passed out. Came to getting thrown on the concrete path in the gutter. I think they thought I was dead. I sort of came to just before they were tossing me out, basically. I think they thought I was dead, and I was happy to play that game, play that card. And so that's what I did. But this, if you can imagine, while this is all happening and I've had this experience, I didn't understand what that experience was. I didn't understand that I'd left my body. It was almost like you were dreaming, because I just didn't know. How could I be out there and be there at the same time? You just didn't get that understanding. So, again, upon reflection, you start to get more knowledge about these big experiences you've had. Now, that was the first time I had left my body that I'm aware of. So, and that was through very traumatic experience. The next time was actually 12 months, almost 12 months to the day. It was a couple of days out, 12 months to the day after that attack. I had a near-death experience. I was at work and I passed out at work. Now, how I know it was a near-death experience is I was working in a bank. Next door was the doctor's surgery. Apparently they got the doctor in and he had to give me an adrenaline shot to get my heart moving again. Now, again, I wasn't aware of that until after the fact, as always, but I had passed out. Now, in the staff room at the bank, I wasn't aware, but we had one of those banana lounges. Now, I didn't know that we had that, because all I remember was having people standing around me and me standing up and them still looking down. So if you can imagine, if you're standing there, you're there and everyone's talking to you, or you're laying there and everyone's looking at you, then you stand up, you expect their gaze to follow you. This is why I knew it was weird. I expected I'm here. And their gaze didn't follow me. Their gaze stayed looking down. And so I knew I was heading up, and I couldn't, that didn't make sense. But you're not there to make sense. You follow this path along, you just go with the flow. So there's lots of other things that happened in there, and I can explain all that into great detail, but I won't do it now. So I will talk about my near-death experience another time and exactly what I saw. Anyway, I did come back from that, obviously, and so that was the second time I had left my body. The third time was once I did know that, and again, I didn't know what a near-death experience was when it happened. It wasn't until I read books later. The time that I am really strongly aware of, is when I was practicing doing astral traveling. That is where you deliberately leave your body. Now, I had read about this, and so I had been practicing doing it. It was like my intention to do it. And when I did do it, it took about 6 months every night practicing, just putting the intention out and some going through it. And there's a book on it, but you'd have to look at it. I can't remember what the lady's person's name is, sorry, that wrote it. But anyway, I practiced doing it, and I eventually did it, and it was really strange. Like, I've gone, I can remember with flying, for want of another word, and going out the driveway, heading down the driveway. And you just knew, I just knew I was doing it, because it was the same blue hue, like a full moon. And it had that feeling, and I went, oh, my goodness, I'm doing it. And as soon as you put any emotion into it, straight away, you're back. I was back in the bed, back beside where I'm meant to be, and I was like, oh, bugger. I really liked that feeling of it, that I could do it. Now, I haven't tried again. I haven't practiced it again. It was almost like I just needed to test the theory and go, okay, got this, know how to do it, know what it feels like, know what it's about. When people start talking about astral traveling, yep, I can say, yep, been there, done that, because I'm a theory tester. Now, I can't say I've been there, done that well, and I know other people that did it that would do it, and they would actually work wherever they wanted to go. They'd go over some islands. They'd you know, do whatever they want. I know another person who does it whenever they're tired. If they haven't had a good night's sleep, the next night they could astral travel, and they don't like it at all. It scares them. So we have different aspects of it. So that was understanding that we do have these two bodies, definitely have the physical, definitely have the spiritual. And when they talk about eternal life, I look at it as the spiritual side of it because it is eternal, whereas the physical isn't. Where we talk about, what was the other thing we talk about? Well, that eternal life. Anyway, there's that aspect. So understanding these big experiences give us a bigger picture. They really do give us a bigger picture. That's when we start to go, okay, there's other things there. And this is where I went, well, that's when I know it was my intuition sort of starting to kick in and help me. What is intuition? Remember, it is our the communication from our spirit to our physical. We now know, I now know, that we've got the physical and the spiritual. They've got to communicate. That's the intuition. So in my dream, my spirit, my soul woke me up to get me moving to create that action. Now, the last area I wanted to just talk about was the unexpected moments. Now, these unexpected moments that we have are things, again, could be experiences that we've had, situations that we've gone through, but we weren't expecting them. And we can get that aha moments. You know, it's like those times when you go, oh, that's why that happened. Oh, right. Or where did that come from type thing. It's those aha moments. Now, we can get them quite often and quite regularly, and they can be small or they can be big, they can be major. A couple of mine was one particular time when I'd had three children in 3 years, and I was experiencing after the third one, everyone was saying, you have got postnatal depression. What it really was I was living with a narcissist who liked to use emotional abuse and manipulation to get what he wanted. But everyone else said, no, you're experiencing postnatal depression because you're just really depressed. Anyway, this particular day, he drove me into town, left me at the doctor's and said, get something for it. Now, I didn't even know I was broken at that stage. I didn't know there was something wrong with me. But obviously he did. He knew better. And left me at the doctor's. So I went into the doctor's, not really knowing what I was doing, didn't have an appointment. And lucky enough, there was a new lady doctor in, and she had a free space there for me. So I went in, and she was an alternate therapist as well. She did acupuncture and a few other things. So it was really good. We really connected after lots and lots of tears, obviously. Anyway, what she did was she turned around and said, I don't think you've got postnatal depression. I went, okay. But she'd been taking all these notes as I was talking. She held up two pieces of paper. One was a prescription for Valium, the drug of choice in those days. One was a prescription for that. And the other one was a list of books to read. Now, mate, I was going through a lot. I had an alcoholic husband who was a narcissist. I had three children under the age of three. I lived two states away from any family member that was close to me. I was doing it all on my own. I was really doing it on my own, and I was struggling. So I grabbed the easy option because I had to have some help. So I grabbed that list of books because for me that was the easy option. And I went and got some books out. Now, the husband was disgusted. Because he just wanted to be proven right and me be on medication. So I got one of the books that she said, and then from there on I used to go whenever I go shopping, which was once a month usually because we lived quite a way out, once a month, once every 6 weeks, I'd go in and I'd grab 10 books from the library. I couldn't afford to keep buying books, but I could go to the library and get them for nothing. Now, when I look at that in comparison to you guys now, is you don't necessarily need the library unless you like reading books, which I did, but you've got the internet there. Now, the flip side of that is that you've got so much information on the internet that it's hard to understand what is real and what isn't, or what resonates with you and what isn't. But there again, there was lots of books. And what I would do is I would take out what I need from those books and then let the rest go. If it had a couple of good ideas, just take those. If you're reading a blog, just take a couple of the good ideas and go, yeah, that suits me. The rest doesn't. You don't have to follow it all, even what I say. You don't have to follow it all. So that was an unexpected moment, because here I was going into the doctors because I was perceived broken, and in the end I ended up getting all these books, and over years and years, probably another 5 years, I learned more about myself than I can imagine. And again, I'm a theory tester, so any of those books that I read, I tested the theories, and you want to hear about some of the theories I tested, mate, they are incredible. Very, very good. Really, really good. Some of the information that I got was so, so valuable. I highly recommend it. Another unexpected moment was when I was living on the 90-acre organic crop farm. It allowed me to do my life coaching course. I did a life coaching course there. The other one was university. Like I had at that stage a natural therapist clinic, my own business. I had my own home. And my children, two of them had just left home, and the other one was due to leave to go to uni. So I left all of that. I put somebody in my business, I put renters in my home, and my daughter had gone to uni by then. I left all that and moved to go to university myself at the age of 48. I studied a 3-year uni degree on public health. 6 months after I finished my degree, I worked 3 part-time jobs while I was doing it, but 6 months after I finished that degree, all the jobs that I had studied for were, as the government changed hands, were made null and void. They wiped them out. I've never been able to work in that job. So I spent $30,000 on a career that never ever came to fruition. But that gave me new opportunities. It gave me the ability to write the book. It gave me the confidence to jump online and to create different things. So there's all these unexpected aha moments from what we think we're doing and what we're and the direction we're going and what we're looking at. We start to bring in all these different opportunities, these different abilities. That's when your intuition's really kicking in. I know I was supposed to go to university. It was just everything fell in line. You know when you know that you're meant to be doing something? I knew I was supposed to be going to university. I knew that that was going to happen. My girlfriend said to me, what if you don't, you're creating, she said, you're doing this and you're doing this and you're doing this. How do you know you're going to get into uni? And I said, how do you know I'm not? And if I don't get in under that reason, if I don't get in that course, then I'll take another course that helps me get into where I want to go. The fact is, that's where I'm going. And I don't know what that looks like, but that's where I'm going. That's when you know it's the intuition. It's so strong. It's so powerful that you don't know. And yet it can be so subtle and so unassuming. I said that funny, didn't I? So unassuming. There's decisions. Every decision you make in your life, every decision you make has the opportunity of your intuition kicking in to give you that understanding, to give you that direction. Every single direction you make, every single decision you make. Now, why that is because your intuition, your soul, is in this physical body for a reason. Your soul, remember, can't touch, taste. It doesn't have access to the 5 senses that we do. Your soul can only know. It feels, it knows. Physical bodies can do the 5 physical senses. So for the soul to get an understanding, and it may have gone through life after life after life after life, but the soul to get an understanding needs to come into a physical body and get its learning. Your life purpose is about what that soul's got to do. And your physical body is going to help it get there. That's why every decision you make could be influenced by, well, is influenced by your spirit, by your soul, your spirit, the spiritual side of you. So how do you know it's your intuition? look, reflect back and have a look. Reflect back on your life and get an understanding of some of the situations you've gone through. Look at those big experiences in your life. They're there for a reason. What is the reoccurring theme through it? What is happening through it? Like, I can tell you lots of other big experiences I've had with my life, but one of the aspects was leaving my body, and I did that in the rape, I did that in the near-death experience, and I did that in astral traveling. That made sense to me. That brought my intuition and gave me a clearer understanding of it. Look at those unexpected moments, those times when you've sort of, for example, when I was talking about the university, one of the reasons with I knew the university was right, I was talking to a friend and she sort of went, well, which university are you going to? And I said, well, you know what? I don't have to stay here. I can go wherever I want to go and go to uni. I don't need to stay here. And straight away I went, wow, where did that come from? It was like I was being told I don't have to stay here. You know, this is not necessarily where you need to be to go to university. So it was, it just opened my mind up to go, well, where else could I go? And other thoughts came through. That's when you know it's your intuition. It's those moments that you're unexpected, and something happens, and you're driving down a particular road and you sort of got so much thoughts going on and everything else that you actually miss your turn off. There's a reason for that. You know, you hear something on the radio that no one else hears. There's a reason for that. You see numbers, you see things, it's a reason behind it. That's when you know it's your intuition. And even if you're not sure if it's your intuition or not, have a double think about it. Have another look and just reflect upon it and see if it's been done before. See if you've experienced it before. So that's how you know it's your intuition. It will be, you will understand it, but you may not understand it at the particular time. It's sometimes you have to reflect back on it to get the understanding of it. In fact, it's not until now that I can really, really see it. And that's because I have done a lot of reflecting back on it. And why we need to reflect it? Because we are all different. So we will all take on information in our own way. What I see is one thing. What the colour blue means to me could mean completely different to what the colour blue means to you. So we're seeing things differently as we go along. And that's why we sort of get a little bit of we can get a little bit confused. Look back and see, how did I respond that time? When I heard that last time, what happened? When I get that, what that feeling, where did that come from? How did that happen last time? Just reflect back and have a little bit of a look, because as you've got that understanding, when it happens the next time, you'll pick it up straight away. You'll get that straight away. You'll get that knowing straight away. It's my spirit talking. It's my soul talking. It's where I need to go. So, and even if you feel it's wrong and you sort of go, okay, well, that's where I felt like I was supposed to go, like with university, it was so strong for me to go to uni. And yet, I mean, how is it that a government changes hands and wipes out all, it was something like 3,000 jobs in the public health arena that were wiped out 6 months after I finished that? Does that make me following my intuition wrong? No, it just makes a difference. I needed to go through that and get that understanding, because it allows me to take another step in the right direction. It was the right direction. I just wasn't aware of it. It was that, uh-huh. All right, that's me. I've got to go because I do talk too much. Now I've got quite a few ladies booked up. I've got three booked up, ready to come on. So we're going to have them on soon. One from the UK, two from America. I'm booking them in. We've got to get the right times and everything else. But if you want to connect with me, I've had it going along the bottom there. I'm at theartofintuition.com.au, and you can get Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you name it, it's there. It's called The Art of Intuition, I think you will still get it if you click in into Intuitive Nature as well. So I want to wish you all the very, very best. I have got the online courses. I've got a couple up now, so we're getting a few more of them coming through, which is really, I'm really excited about. There's one there about, it's Intuitive Trees, Intuitive Flowers, and I'm starting some private workshops too. So how to get purpose and direction, how to find your purpose and direction, the fun and easy way, like, whoa, without having to do those big goals. let's do the good emotional goals instead. So I'm putting a couple of those out. That is workshops that are online, not online, that are in person. So you need to be in Australia and probably the East Coast for that. but anyway, that's all good. Have a great day. Have a great week. And I will see you next week. And it's bye from now for me. Okay, bye.